The Gemara quotes a first shita that says that the last day psukim, Yoshua wrote his own Sefer Yoshua. He also wrote the last day psukim in the Torah. Why? Because what does the last day psukim in the Torah consist of? Moshe Rabbeinu's obituary. V'yamas Shah Moshe. How could Moshe be alive and write V'yamas Moshe? It'd be Sheker. Therefore, let's get it. The first day in Tanoim, in the Mabasru, the Daftetov and Aleph is the Shita of Reb Yudah or others say Reb Nechemia that the last day of Psukim of the Chumash, the Torah Kedosh, were written by Yoshua. Because it's not possible that Yoshua could have written the last day of Psukim in the Torah. It's not possible Moshe Rabbeinu could have written the last day of Psukim in the Torah because it was Moshe Rabbeinu's obituary. The Yamas Shah Moshe. Moshe Chai. How could Moshe be alive and write the Yamas Shah Moshe? Okay. This is the first sheet that we find in this Gemara. Second sheet. Amar l'Rav Shimon, Efshir Sefer Torah Chasar Chos Achas, Uksiv Lakuach HaSefer HaTorah Hazeh. How could you say one letter is lacking? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote everything. How could you say the last day of Sukkim of the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write? It says, Lakuach et Sefer HaTorah Hazeh, take this whole Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole thing from beginning to the end. From Alf to Tov. Hello. Ad Kana Kodesh Baruch Hu Oimer. There's a whole question about the Gersos here. But the way we'll read it is, Ad Kana Kodesh Baruch Hu Oimer. Moshe Rabbeinu Oimer V'Kaisev. This is the way we're going to read it. The Bach takes out the word Oimer. But Lamaisa, okay, let's leave it here. He takes out the word Omer, but we're going to leave it. Ad Kana Kodesh Baruch Hu Oimer. Moshe Oimer V'Kaisev. Mikan Melech HaKodesh Baruch Hu Oimer. Moshe Rabbeinu Kaisev. Moshe Kaisev B'Demo. Doesn't say Rabbeinu B'Demo. What's the second sheet to say? No way. Second sheet that says Moshe Rabbeinu had to write everything. From beginning until end. He had to write everything. Mamish. Beginning from Aleph until Tov. No problem. So how could he write his obituary? He died already. What's the sheet that? The second sheet is Kaisev. Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu over the Torah, the whole Torah. The whole Torah refers to his Omer and then he was Kosev. The last day of Psukim, all he did was write, but he wrote the Devil while he was crying. He wrote it while he was crying. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu says. The Gemara writes. The Gemara says, Keman Asla Hadam Rabbi Yeshua Barab Amr Gidol Marab Shonu Psukim Shibetar Yochen Kareh Asom. What does it mean, Rabbi Shua Barab, the name of Gidol Marab? Hey, Psukim Shema Torah, a Yachid reads them. A Yachid reads them. Lema, Galok Reb Shimon. It's against Reb Shimon, who was the first Shita. I'm sorry, it's the second Shita. A Yachid reads them. Vivotem Reb Shimon, all the Ishtanu, Ishtanu. Ha. So let's get it. The Gemara here in Boa Basra presents two Shitas. First Shita was who? Reb Yudah or others say Reb Nechemia. Then what? The last day Psukim the Torah who wrote them? Yoshua. So Reb Yudah? Amre, others say Reb Nechemia. Who wrote the last day Psukim the Torah? Yoshua. Because he was Moshe Rabbeinu's obituary. How could he write it? It would be a lie. He was a lie. You got to write the Yom HaShem HaShem. Right? That's the first sheet. Second sheet that says not Hitler. Second sheet that says Reb Shimon. No way. The whole Torah from beginning to end Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. The only thing is, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it B'Demo. He was Kosei B'Demo while he was crying. Then the Gemara quotes that Yochid reads the last day of Sukkot of the Torah. Yochid is Korei, Shmona, Sukkot, Achronos, Shechet Torah. What does that opinion Yochid go like? Who's Shita? Certainly like Reb Yudah, because it's different than the rest of the Torah, because Yoshua wrote it. How could it be a fourth Reb Shimon? What does the Gemara say? Because it's nishtana. It's different. How is it different? Because he wrote it while he was crying. Okay? Does everyone get this? This is the Gemara we're starting off with. Okay, we got to make sure we get the Gemara quote. Okay, the Gemara writes this beferish. This statement was the name of Yeshua Bar Avraham Rav Gidl. Alright, we got it? Again, it says a Yochid read last name Sukkotar. That goes like the first time for sure that a Yochid is different. We have to define what the word Yochid is. We'll see, Vizhishet. But certainly, if Yeshua wrote it, it's different than the rest of the Torah. Yochid can read it. Second sheet, how does that jive? Because it was different. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu wrote about it, it's crying. Okay. So, Rav Shulman asked many kashas, and I said, I heard this file from him many years ago, but we'll add on to it. As follows. Rav Shulman said they had a kasha in the Mahalik, we'll add on to the Mahalik. We have to ask a bunch of kashas in this Gemara. Number one, what is the significance of his crying? It's number one. What's the significance of his crying? Okay. It's changed. It's different. Okay, why? In what sense is it different that he was crying? That's number one. Number two kasha, second kasha is, it says, Beferish, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to the whole Torah, Hashem first said it, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was Omer Gekosev. Okay, the last answer I just wrote down goes to the demo. But Kol Torah Kula, it says Moshe Rabbeinu was Omer Gekosev. The last eight Pesukim, Rak Bishvonim Pesukim, that he won, he just was Kosev. Rak Bishvonim Pesukim, Rak Kosev. What's the significance? Why did he have to first say it over the rest of the Torah and then write it down? What's the significance of Omer Gekosev? You found a way to say it over, just write it. That's the second cast. What's the Omer Gekosev? Yeah, go ahead, John. Yeah, that's what I said. We're not going with the Bach. Let's assume the Pashup Shabbat Gemara. The same Gemara appears in Menachos and Nachlavet. So it's not so Pashup in other Gerses. Our Gerses in the Gemara is Omer. So let's go with that. What is the significance of Omer Gekosev? That's the second cast we want to ask. Okay? Third kash is, Tosfos says in Menachos, and Daf Lamed, this we're adding on, Rav Shechter said in the name of the Rav, he says, the exact lashon of Tosfos, and Tosfos in Menachos, and Daf Lamed, and Menachos, Dibra Maskil, Umoyshe Kosev, he writes, V'chumra, there's a chumra for Sofrim, of Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, and Tefillin, that they what? They should say it over before they write. You got me? He says it's a chumra based on this Gemara. You follow me? You see, Tosfos supposed to have this gears, John. Because first question is Omer Gekosev, right? So you see clearly Tosfos had this gears. So there's a chumra for Sofrim before they write down the Sefer Torah, any word that they say it over first. It's a chumra. So the Rav asked, why is it a chumra? It's Mikra Din. If Moshe Rabbeinu was Omer Gekosev, every sofer for millennia should have to do it. Why does Tosfos call that a chumra? That was the Rav's kasha. So that's the third kasha, you want to say. The third kasha. Fourth kasha. Fourth kasha. What is the definition? What is the definition of Yochid? What does it mean that a Yochid reads Ne'eh Pesukim Achronah Shebetorah? What does the definition mean? So let's answer that very quickly, and we'll get to the fourth kasha. The Rambam writes explicitly in Pirkei Yud-Gimel Chos-Tefillah Lech-Avav, he writes explicitly, the Rambam writes, let's get a Yodi to Mini. That's what the Rambam writes, and that's the simplest reading of the word Yochid, no? Yochid means you don't need a mini. How do you know you need a mini for grace of Torah? What's the marker? It's a Mishnah Megillah, a Daf Kof Gimel. A Mishnah Megillah, a Daf Kof Gimel. Lists off the things you need 10 for. One of the things, grace of Torah. Rambam writes, Yochid means you don't need a mini. Okay, that's the Rambam. Rabbeinu Tam says not that way. Rabbeinu Tam means, Yochid means you can't break it up. You can't break it up into two aliyahs. You know, 4 and 4, 5 and 3, each aliyah needs at least 3 psukim. You cannot break it up. You have to read the whole thing together. That's the definition of new Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? This is Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. The Rabbeinu Meshulam, and the second pshat of the Ravid on that Rambam, the first pshat of the Ravid is like the Rabbeinu Tam. Second pshat of the Ravid is like Rabbeinu Meshulam, which is quoted in Tosafot Bavas, Daf Ted Vav, but I don't think Ramas Meshmona Psukim. What does Rabbeinu Meshulam say? Do you know how we get aliyahs? Does the oil ever live lane? Why? You always have a balkar, you have an ola, right? Why doesn't the ola, if the guy gets the aliyah, why does, what'd you say? Excellent, excellent, Zach. In order not to embarrass the guy. There was a tekana made that the guy shouldn't. That's why, you know, if some guys do that, it's really not right. You know, if the ola gets the aliyah, says, you know, ola, 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 you know what I mean? There's always the guy who does that. It's not right, it really is not right. Okay, that's planning your ola, so you be the balkar. You're not the balkar, right? So the partial shot is you really should follow the cut of the Mishnah. Let the ball clear in lane. Really. Okay, even though you know it. Oh. So that was a Tekana made, not to embarrass anyone. Fine. These last 8 psukim of Rabbeinu Meshulam says, you know what? You do it yourself. There is no fellow laning along with you. You do it yourself. So whoever gets to be a leader, he should be the one who does it. That's what he says. Rabbeinu Meshulam. Very interesting Kiddush, okay? Shouldn't read it along with the Shliach Tzibor. He says you have one man do it, one man do it alone. The Olo, the Torah, Ulevado, Koreh. The Chazan does not read with him, okay? Chazan does not read with him. Okay? How many Pshatim now do we have in Yachid? How many so far? 3. First one is Yachid without a minyan Rama. Second one is the Ravid's first Pshat, all the minute time, you can't break it off. What's the third one? Right, the second term in the shul that you have to read it yourself without a chazan. Okay. Fourth shot. I gave you the Mordechai. Did everyone get Marv Kainis? The Mordechai says, in an office, an os tough kuf nun he. As I said, the corresponding to words, menoch tachlam and amal, tough kuf nun he. You know what the Mordechai says? Yochid means, the biggest Tamachachim in the shul should get the aliyah. What's the last aliyah in the Torah? What's it called? Kassel Torah. Very good. Excellent. He says that the biggest Tamachachim, that's what the word Yachin means. So we have 4 different sheets is what the word Yachin means. Okay? In the Rishon. How do you touch? How do you simply translate the word Yachin? What's your chat? Oh. So the biggest Tamachachim in the shul gets the one, gets the aliyah. Okay. The Chacham Tzvi, who is the great chief rabbi of Amsterdam, the father of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, writes the following, or the father-in-law, I forgot already, writes the following. In his, he asks the following Chacham Tzvi Siman Aleph. I think it's the first Siman. I don't remember if it's the first Siman, but he asks like this. What kind of covenant is that giving to the biggest Talachach in the shul? You give him the last 8 psukim in the Torah? I mean, the last 8 psukim, either Yoshua wrote them, which is a downgrade, right? Even though Yoshua is great, but it wasn't written by Moshe. Or Moshe Aaron wrote his crying. I mean, give him something else. Give him that says the Dibris. Give him Kriyashma. You know what I'm saying? What are you giving him such a strange parsha? It's a downgrade. What kind of covenant is that? So the Chacham Tzvi asks on the Mordechai, according to you, the Mordechai, that is referring to the biggest covenant, what kind of covenant is this? That's the fourth kasha that we're asking. So now come on, let's review the kashas. First kasha was, what's the significance of his crying? Second kasha is, what's the significance of it being owner of a kose? And the last thing it took me only was kose. Third kasha was, why does Tosafot Menachos Nachlamanov say there's a chumrah that the sofer should say it over and then write it down? It's not a chumrah, it's speak right in the rub ass. I'm speak right in. Right off the Gemara. And the fourth kasha is, how do you define the word Yochid? According to to the Mordechai's definition that it means the biggest Talmud Chacham in the Shul, what kind of cover is that giving him the biggest Talmud Chacham in the Shul? The last day took him to the Torah. I mean, he's going to go Shul Rosh Hashanah on his crying. That's not the cover, Dick. So you should give it to someone else for once. Not give it to someone else. You should give him another parsha. And the three other sheikhs that Yochim mentioned. Rav says Yochim means there's no minion. The Rabbeinu Meshulam says, number Rabbeinu Tam, the first shot of the Rabbeinu says, what? You can't break it off. And the second shot of the Rabbeinu Meshulam says, and he reads it himself, but not with the father. Okay? I mean, that whole takana of not embarrassing God does not apply to the last day. So we're asking at the Mordechai Chacham Tzvi's kasha. Oh, so how do we answer these kashas? So there's a sefer called the Maal. You ever heard of the Maal Diskin? The Maal Diskin, Rabbi Shulam Diskin, was one of the great Gaon of Rabbi Shalayim in the late 1800s, beginning of the 1900s. He was one of the great Gaon. He has in the back of his sefer Chumash essays on different topics. One of the essays is about the topic of Nevuah. What is the notion of Nevuah? Prophecy. What is it all about? So he says a beautiful definition that we must get. He says, Nevuah works in the following way. Every human being has what we call, I think the Gemara, the Pasuk has it, I'm not sure what the marker for it is, has a neshama. What is that called? A chelik elokai mimah. A portion from upstairs, from above. A portion of upstairs is in every person, a neshama. A chelik elokai mimah. When a Navi receives Nevuah, what happens? The Nevuah comes down in the Shemayim, trickles down from Shemayim, and goes through the Navi's Neshama and is filtered out to Klal Yisrael. It's filtered through the Navi's Neshama. You follow me? This is how Nevuah works. What does the word Nevuah mean? What does the word Niv mean? Bori Niv Sifasai. What does Niv mean? Utterances. What is utterances? Words you say. The definition of a Navi is to say over. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin on Peitesim and Aleph that I gave you, what does it say? That a Navi that withholds his prophecy, what's the din? Chayav Misa B'nei Shamayim. Excellent set. HaKovish Es Nevuaso. A Navi that withholds his prophecy is Chayav Misa B'nei Shamayim. That's a whole shiloh about Yonah, right? What's your job with Yonah was he was a Kovishish Nevuaso. The definition of a Navi is to say over. It's antithetical to Nevuah to keep it with you. You have to say it over. This is how Nevuah works. For it needs a sign. Let me ask you. What is the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? How did the Chachamim determine which form would go in Nevi'im and which form would go in Ksuvim? What are the differences? So what does the Rambam say? Let's get the different sheets. Rambam writes in the Mordechai Buchim, a Navi got his Nevuah when he was unconscious, mamish, even more than sleeping. Seems like he was unconscious. The Sfarim and Ksuvim were written by Ruach HaKodesh. What's Ruach HaKodesh? He was conscious. David HaMelech was given a Siyata Nishmaya to write to him. But he wasn't unconscious. All the Sfarim and Nevi'im, the Navi was unconscious when he got his Nevuah. That's what the Rambam writes in the Mordechai. Nevi'im says different. Niri says all the Sfarim Nevi'im were messages given to the Nevi'im to give Musar to Klal Yisrael. The Niri, all the Sfarim Nevi'im were given to the Nevi'im that they should give Musar to Klal Yisrael. The Sfarim and Ksuvim are more historical, informational, but not to give Musar to Klal Yisrael. That's the Niri. And what does Reb Chaim say? Based on the Gemara, all the Sfarim and Nevi'im were given to say over Navi, Borim Niv Sifasai. All the Sfarim and Ksuvim were given over to write. To write down, not necessarily to say over. So Reb Chaim's definition really highlights this notion of Nevuah Borim Niv Sifasai, to say over. You have to say over. That's the definition of Nevuah. Borim Niv Sifasai. That's the definitive difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim, says Reb Chaim. Oh. So Sefer Pshulei, this is how Nevuah works. The Gemara writes in Yevamos on the Testament base that Moshe Rabbeinu was misnabe with what? With an aspaklaria mi'ira. He saw everything crystal clear. Aspaklaria mi'ira. The Gemara in Yevamos on the Testament base writes, I read you the Lashon Gemara, he saw everything crystal clear. Aspaklaria mi'ira, mamish. Word for word, letter for letter from HaKadosh Baruch. No other Navi was on this Madrega. Who was the second greatest Navi that we have? Shmuel HaNavi, Shmuel B'Kari Shmoy. We say that in Kabbalah Shabbos. But the greatest Navi was Moshe Rabbeinu that ever was, ever will be. You must believe that. The Rambam writes, if you don't believe that, you're Abikaris. The 13 principles of Yadus the Rambam has. You know, Yigdal. Yigdal was based on the Rambam's Yud Gimel Likoro. And one of the lines is that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi that ever was, ever will be. If you don't believe that, you're Abikaris. You know, many people say for dating, what's your Ashkofi? They want to set up Shidduch, what's your Ashkofi? Everyone's Ashkofi should be the Rambam's Yud Gimel Likoro. Maybe Shidduch would be a lot easier. My Ashkofi! What's my Ashkofi? The Yud Gimel Likoro. That's my Ashkofi. The Rambam writes very clearly that the greatest Navi ever was, ever will be, is what? Is Rambam Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh. Now listen to this. If this is the case, what does it mean? The Gemara's Lashon B'Yevamos, B'Daf Mem Testament Beis, says, K'nesani kol ha'navim nistaklu b'aspaklari she'en emiru. All the navim are b'aspaklari she'en emiru. Moshe Rabbeinu nistaklu b'aspaklari ha'me'iru. Now if you were listening closely, you know when they call up the Chassam Torah? They go, Rishus, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, right? Yeah? If you notice at the end of that, I have a kasha, I don't have a theorist. It says, Bas Bakarya in Behira, Kenibe, Yeshayah. It's only Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't have a theorist for it. You gotta look in the, I should look in the library, the Otzer Asim. Otzer Sidur, what'd you say? Otzer Sidur. But I said, that's not Hanah. So I'm saying that in the sinner, we should ask him, maybe he has a third. But I'm saying in the sinner, we have to find what the marker for that is. I just noticed that this year. It says, no, because Kapari Mir can even Yeshayah go. The only one was with Kapari Mir was who? Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very difficult. Okay. But nonetheless, where do you find this that the Rav says? Where do you get this? It's very important. Let's get it. Where do you find that Moshe Rabbeinu was set apart than all of the other Navim? Says in the Mishnah of the Spirit, Aleph Mishnah Aleph, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, Umoser Yoshua, Yoshua Rishkenim, Skenim of Navim. What's the difference between Kibel and Moser? Moshe Rabbeinu got everything word for word, letter for letter. Because he saw everything crystal as 100%. All the other Navim were great, but they got 99.9%. That's what happens when you're Moser. You might miss something in the transmission. Not anything major. But that was 99.99%. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it was 100% Mamish. That's the difference in Kibel, the Rav said, and Moser. Beautiful word. Parenthetically, also the Rav said, why does it say, Misinai, what do you think, Sinai stretched out his hand and gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah? It should say, Bisinai. Moshe Rabbeinu learned the message of Anovin. Anovin. Sinai, the Gemara writes in Sotah, was the smallest mountain. Hashem chose that to instill in us the notion of Anovin to become a Kamachach. Water, Torah is like water. Water flows downward. You have to be mashable yourself to be an Anovin. In fact, the Horus Nussin, the Sefer writes, there's two dinim. There's a din of Anovin, there's a din of Hashpal. You know what the Lashon of the Mishnah in Avos was? Heavy shuffle. Ruach. Shiftless. Is a lower level than Anova. I mean a higher level, I'm saying. Lower level of being lower, but it's a higher Madrega. Why does it say Moshe was the Anova Mikol Anova? It should say it was the shuffle Mikol Anova. Because for Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't have to get to the Madrega of shiftless. Jabin was a tzaddik anyway. But for us, we have to go to an extreme to be a shuffle. Round number says there's only two meters you gotta go to an extreme on. What are they? Anav and anger. Anav, you gotta go to an extreme to be an anav. And anger is also to get rid of it. So the Rambam says. Otherwise, Rambam says you're only trying to look for the golden medium. So what I want to bring out is that Moshe Rabbeinu learned the message of Anovim. Where else do you find it? Just sit over to shul on the Shabbos. This is very important for us. And one of the guys in the shul brought out something from Moshe. That was very beautiful. What's the Chiddush of Rashi al Atar of Nasa Adam B'Tzalmeinu? What's that famous message that Rashi quotes? Nasa Adam B'Tzalmeinu. Who did he take Eitzu with Hashem? The Malach. Should he create man? We learn a Musar from here. When you make a big decision, you should even consult with someone smaller than you, right? Let me ask you a question. What could happen if someone interpreted that pasuk literally? Nasa Adam. What could happen? You're coming out because of the two gods, right? Aren't the stakes high? You mean teaching us a message of humility is more important than perhaps a guy coming out because? That's a great question, though. Okay. That's true, Al. What are you driving at? Well, you're driving at his follows. You know what the Reverend Heschel said in the Chanukah Satayr? It says like this. Someone who's a Baal Gaiva in the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. Because a Baal Gaiva will not interpret that pasuk referring to the teaching, the message of what? Humility. How will he interpret that pasuk of Baal Gaiva? And that there are two gods. So becoming a Baal Gaiva is an Avodah Zarah. You heard it, Vort? It's a beautiful Vort. Because you're not looking to learn the message of humility. But more than that, Alex, that's what Shekhar wanted to say. Yes, a guy who's not because you can work with. You can remedy it, and he can change. A guy who has bad meters, it's much harder to change. And Hashem was willing to risk a guy who has Deos Rahos means bad mashkafa, to become an alkaris. We can remedy that guy, rather than risk the message of humility. Because that's a meter. Having a meter raw is worse than having a deos raw. That's basically what you're driving at. You follow? It's tremendous chiddush. Oh. So getting back to what we're suggesting now. Please get it. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest. Navi ever was, ever will be. So everything bas baklan mimir. Moshe kibul tor misina. Oh. This is the case that we can understand now. Please get this. A Peledic and Medrash. Shulman asks. It says in Yigdal. I shouldn't just say it's in Yigdal. It's in the Pesukim Chumash and Tosaf Bracha. Lo kam b'Yisrael kemoshe olam. Yes? What does that imply, the Medrash says? There was no greater Navi in the history of the Jewish people than Moshe Rabbeinu. Implying amongst two, the Goyim, there was a guy who was great as Moshe. Who was that? Bilam. So tell us, how on earth could Bilam have been as great as Moshe Rabbeinu? He was a Russia comer. Now I gave you the Gemara of Ruchus on Daf what? Thank you. On Daf Zayin, very good, Aaron. On Daf Zayin, I thought I gave it to you. Yeah. Tosin Daf Zayin, it says that Bilam was a very bright man. He knew the 1 second every day that Hashem what? Gets angry. And he thought he could hone in on that 1 second. Tosin says that Daf Zayin was not going to address the moment. So he thought he could be successful in destroying and cursing the Jews. This guy was a murderer, idolater, adulterer. How can he be a great as Moshe Rabbeinu? Says here Yeshua Leib Diskin, please get it, this essay. Bilam knew that his neshama was terribly clouded. He was such a Rasha. He was such a Rasha, a bad guy. His neshama was like a cloud. Misty. Everything was like more than misty. He thought the brachas that would come down from Shamayim that would be filtered through his neshama, because his neshama was so messed up, for lack of better phrase, the brachas were transformed into klolos. And he thought he could be matzlich and cursing the Jews. So Hashem said to Bilam, I'm going to fix you for this one time in history and place you on the plateau of Moshe Rabbeinu. And your neshama will be crystal clear. And the brachas that come down from Shemayim will remain brachas and will not be transformed into klolos. It's a beautiful pshat, no? That's what it means that Bilam was his greatest Moshe. It doesn't mean in general. It means there was one time in Bilam's life that he was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why the brachas remain brachas. This is the pshat. Oh. Now we know what the food is all about. And what the mechanics of it is. Now if this is the case, the truth is, what comes out of Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth is not just stam the food. It's much more than that. The Mitzvah Chinuch has a famous kasha. At least the Rav made it famous. Chassidus said he had this kasha many, many years. There is a din in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, I believe that same daf, that states, on Pei Tesemelach, over al divrei Navi, if someone transgresses the words of a Navi, Chayav Nisa B'nei Shamayim. Chayav Nisa B'nei Shamayim. And Chassidus acts a bomb kasha. We just got through saying Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi ever was, ever will be. What should follow based on that? That every din in the Torah should carry with it a what? A chiv nisa bidei shamayim. We know that's not true. If you were a shatness with Edim and Asra, what's your punishment? Malchus. Right? First thing needs to be saying, but then it's a malchus. Chiv Karis is worse than Chiv Mitzvah Shemayim, I grant you that. The Gemara writes about Karis, some Chiv Karis, he dies at 50, Chiv Mitzvah Shemayim, Chiv. 60, where the guy's 60. Different sheet is how to define Karis is worse than Chiv Mitzvah Shemayim. What punishment do you give Chiv Mitzvah Shemayim for? The Tzar eats Truma, a non-Kohen eats Truma. Or if anyone eats Tevel, what's Tevel before you? Mockers, Trumas, and Mises. We know what Tevel is, right? We know what Tevel is. We discussed that with the Rashi, that Beis Mebeis, right? You have fruits or vegetables that grew a third, you detach and you pile up together. Shame Tevel, we learned that. Anyone who eats Tevel is high risk of Bishamayim. So, if the Gemara writes in Sanhedrin, that if you're over al divrei Navi, you're high risk of Bishamayim, everything in the Chumash, isn't Moshe Rabbeinu a Navi? Not only is he Navi, he's the greatest Navi, ever was, ever will be. He lived that as a kasha. Love does not answer like this. That's exactly the point. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi ever was, ever will be, it's not just Stam the Fool. It's Tyra. It's Tyra. Tyra's mission. Tyra's mission. And therefore, if it's Tyra's mission, it's a different genre and quality. Every din is different. Malchus in hand is Malchus. Malchus in Shatnas in hand is Malchus. Eating chayil ben dam is karis. Tevel and the zari truma is chayim is for the shamayim. Don't ask me a kasha. What about all the dinim in the chumash? Because what comes out of Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth is not stam devor. It's tayra. And what makes it qualitatively different that it's tayra and not stam devor? Because you saw everything bas baklaria meira. That's why it's called tayra. This is the pshat. To answer the question. Now that we have introduced this concept of the Hul and how it works, we can begin to answer the question that we asked at the Gemara. Seth, go ahead.
Well, you didn't get the last
thing,
something last
one. Oh, so let's try now to begin to answer the question. Look good? Okay. What was the first question? First kashya was, according to Reb Shimon, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it while he was crying. What significance is it of him crying? Now, I want to tell you that this shita, there is a marsha in this Gemara. You'll still ask me, Rebbe, how could he have written it? Isn't it sheker? He didn't die yet, no? How can he write his own obituary if he didn't die? Isn't that Shechter? There is a line in the Marshall. I remember Shechter pointed out to us. There's a line in the Marshall. Shechter should point out to us. There's a line in the Marshall that says, and it's been taken out of context. He didn't mean it halacha l'maisa, the Marshall. He meant it in Drush, that there's no issur of Shechter b'ksav. So unfortunately, people have taken that out of context and filled out false tax returns, you know, unfortunately. The Marshal didn't mean that there's no Israel lie if I write. But in Drush, he was explaining Mazda. That's what the Marshal has a comment like. Okay. It's a very big teller. I mean, far Shechter, it does say far, but of course there's an Israel Manistas. But the license, you should just look up the Marshal on that tomorrow. Okay, but nonetheless, what does it mean, the significance of his crying? We should just mention also, please get it, there is a famous comment of the Gaon. The Gaon writes, you know why it wasn't a lie? You know what the word deva means? Not crying. You should get this Gaon. It means mixed up. Like from the word dimua. What does dimua in Mishnayos and Trumas means? You have a mixture of truma and chula together. Meaning the vowels, you should read it not for Yamas Moshe, you should read it as what? Yamus. And he will die. So it wasn't Shechter. Even though our Masorah is by Yamas Moshe, but when he wrote it, it was written by Dimur. So he didn't think it was Shechter because it was by Yamus Moshe. That's what the Gaon's touch of the word Bedeva means. Yeah, you should just know that. Well, let's go with the Pasha Shad of the Gemara. Which the Deva means what? Deva means crying. Let's go with the Pasha Shad where the Deva means crying. What is its significance? The Gemara writes in Brachas, I believe it's Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. But take a look at it, the fifth parak. I believe it's Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara has a line as follows. Ein Ashkina Shoira El Mitoch Simcha Velo Mitoch Atzlus. Not Atzlus. Atzvus. Shina only dwells on a human being if the person's in a state of Simcha. If a person is in a state of sadness and crying, then the Shina cannot dwell on such a person. He must be in a state of Simcha. Neila, consequently, if this is the case, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's state regarding the last day of Sukkim of the Chumash? He was not a Novi because he wasn't happy. Who would cry about their own obituary? No one would cry, even though we'll get to it. The Rav asked, why did Moshe Rabbeinu cry? He lived a long life. He lived a beautiful life. Why should he cry? Okay, that's what the Rav's cash is. I don't know why that's a cash. Anyone would. No matter how good of a life a person lives, they would cry about their obituary, no? I remember our father-in-law's that Saul. When he passed. I remember when he was terminally ill, I remember saying to me, Dave, you know, he loved life so much, he wanted to live more. No matter how good a person wanted to live more. Okay, but we'll get to that. Rav had that cash. But what we want to bring out is, the Moshe Rabbeinu last day to the Chumash was not in the state of what? Of a novel, because he was sad. What was he? He was a transcriber. He was a master ba'alma. He was a transcriber. Therefore, the significance of his crying was to indicate to us that in the last day of Sukkim of Chumash, he was not the getter of novi. He was a master ba'alma. That's the case that answers the second kasha. What does it mean for the whole Kol HaTorah Kula? He was Oymer. He was Oymer because, and the last day of Sukkim, all he did was write. Why for the whole Torah, when Hashem gave him the Torah, did he first say it over and then write it? Why? Because in order to be a Navi, you have to say over. You can't just write, and the whole Torah, he was the status of a Navi. So if he was the status of a Navi, he had to what? First say it over, and then he wrote it down. The last day of Sukkim, all he did was write, because he was not a Navi. So there was no mandate that he had to say it over first. You follow me? All he had to do was simply write it down because it was a mosque in Baha'u'llah with the last name. It's a beautiful shot, no? But Kolotarakula first, he was Murimur because he was Begetter Novi. So since he was Begetter Novi, he had to say over. Then he wrote it down. The last name Sukim was not Begetter Novi. So therefore, all he did was write it. The Meilim, consequently, this also answers the third kasha. What was our third kasha? Why does Taisus and Menachos and Nachlamin of Aleph write that it's a chumrah for the Zofer to say over the word before he writes it? It's not a chumrah, the Rav asks. Should we make right in? Straight off the Gemara. He was Oyver the Kaiser. What's the answer? A Zofer's a tzaddik. It's a kadosh, but it's not a Navi. There's no chiyuv that he has to say it over first and write it. Even though he goes to mikveh before he writes Shem Hashem that day, you're right. That tzaddik is a kadosh, but he's not the Geder Navi. So there's no chiyuv that he's got to say it over and then write it. All he does is write it. Okay, it's a chumrah. You want to impose a chumrah? Fine, impose a chumrah. But it's not mikra'at din. It's only mikra'at din if you're a Navi. He's not a Navi. Only mikra'at din if you're a Navi, you have to say it over and then write it. He's not, only a tzaddik is accomplished. So it's a chumrah for him to say it over and write it. That's why Tosis articulated as being a chumrah. Meilah. This also answers the fourth kasha. What's the fourth kasha? The fourth kasha was, how do you define the word yachid according to the Mordechai? The biggest what? Biggest Talmud Chacham in the shul. The biggest Talmud Chacham in the shul. What was his kasha? You give the biggest Talmud Chacham in the shul either. Either the Eid Pesuk, either Yoshua wrote it, or Moshe Rabbeinu was crying. Give him something else. Give him Kriya Shema Kimasis Adibris. What's a shot? It's not the covenant to give him such a parsha. That's the answer. The answer is, out of all the Pesukim in the Chumash, which Pesukim are the closest Pesukim to Hashem? These eight. Because all the whole Torah had to be filtered to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had to say it and then he wrote it. The last eight, all they were written by Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't need to be said over by him. They came directly mamish from Hashem. And all Moshe Rabbeinu did was write it. So in a very interesting sense, it's counterintuitive. The most, I don't want to say the holiest Pesukim, because every post is holy. But the Pesukim that are the closest to Hashem, in a counterintuitive way, are the last eight because they didn't need to be filtered through Moshe Rabbeinu's Neshama and said over. They were simply just transcribed. So their mom is the closest Pesukim to Hashem. So it is the greatest covenant in the world to give the biggest Talmud Chacham these specific last eight Pesukim. Because these last eight Pesukim are the closest Pesukim to our Kodesh Baruch. That's the Chiddush that we want to bring out here. The Meila says, you follow me? And that answers, you got how it answers that kasha? That answers the Mordechai, because that's why since in a counterintuitive sense, you'd say, oh, it was only transcribed, it wasn't through Moshe, and then it's another, then it's a lower level. No, fuck cares. It's a higher Matreika. Because it didn't need to be filtered through Moshe Rabbeinu. All he did was write it down. Therefore, it's the greatest covenant to give him the Chassid Torah. Yes, go ahead. It's, we're working with Reb Shimon, I would agree. Yeah, we're working with Reb Yeshua. We're working with Reb Yeshua. I would agree, yeah, this whole mahalas is according to that sheet. No, but I'm just adding that sheet in to say that if you see that it's a different type of parsha.
I'm saying we're working within Reb Yudah said that it's Yeshua.
You're right. This whole mahalas is working with that second sheet. That's correct. But that's what we assume. That's what we assume Ladina, it seems. That we go with that sheet that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it while he was crying, because we're going to get an answer that it's Ishtani. All Ishtani, Ishtani. We wanted to make that Gemara Yachid go with that answer. Okay, you follow me now? It's the beautiful Mahalach. This answers all those four kashas. Okay. Now, why is it said the wrong Zatzal. Please get it. Does everyone follow how they answer the four kashas? The significance of the crying, number one. Number two, the order of the kashas and kolotar akula. And the kashas have only been asked eight because he wasn't beginner novi. Number three, why it's only chumru because the sofer is not a novi. He's a tzadik mitar or a kodosh, but he's not a novi. Doesn't have to say over. And number four, why is it Yachid you give him this parsha? If you define Yachid like the Mordechai, the Terence is, because these are the psukim that are closest to our first world. Because it didn't need to be filtered. And this also is ma'asmin the difference in Moshe and what? The other Nevi'im, Mishnah. This also is ma'asmin that how Bilam can be the same as Moshe only one time in history. This also is ma'asmin also why? To answer the Kashmir and Cheshire, why what? Why overall different numbers kind of mixed with a Shemayim, but Moshe Rabbeinu? Spreads no one was a woman. The answer is it's Torah. That's exactly why it's different. And then we had a side cash on the Lach Nisuch of the Chosin Torah, why it says, Kaspakar Mi'ira Ki Nibe Yeshaya Hado. Cash. Okay. Why is it the Rav said to Tzal? Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu did cry at his own obituary? So we would have said, I can give you a different theory. Like I just said, number one, anyone who cried at his obituary. Number two, maybe he was crying because he didn't get to what? He didn't get there to Israel. Maybe you could say he was crying tears of joy, perhaps. Different shot. But the Rav said like this, this is unbelievable shot. This is a very brisk shot. Because crying is an emotional thing. So the Rav emphasized this emotional concept of crying. Do you know why he was crying? The Rambam writes as follows. In Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Vav, Shmona Pesukim Shebesofa Teira Mutu Likros Osam Bebayis Beis HaKnesses Bepochus Miasar Afa Bishakol Teirihi Moshe Rabbeinu mipi hakvura amro hoyel umashmoon sheheim achar mismo shahar pari nishtanu. What do those words mean? Hoyel umashmoon achar mismo. What does that mean? What does hoyel umashmoon mean? Their meaning, their meaningfulness only came into play when? After the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Follow what I'm saying? The Rambam writes black and white. That these eight psukim only came into its kedusha after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like a man came akadosh a woman, lachar shlosha, gives her the money and says, I only wanted to kick in and michal one after 30. Guy can give a get to his wife and says it's going to michal after 30 days. Right? Lachar lava. That's lachar shlosha. That's what that means. You do the bison today and the chalosha after 30 days later. That's exactly what the kedusha of the last eight psukim happened. They only kicked in when Moshe Rabbeinu actually died. He wrote them while he was alive, obviously. According to the second sheet, as Yitzi pointed out. But they only kicked in, the Kedusha only kicked in after he died. That's why he was crying. These were the only psukim, the whole Chumash, that only kicked in when? When did they kick in? Took a while. Moshe Rabbeinu was crying over that. He was so sad that this was, he had words that he wrote down that took a while for it to kick in. That's what the Rav said in Lomas. He was crying, not an emotional cry, he was crying because it wasn't Chal Miyah. That's what he said. Is that a beautiful shot? That's Mamas Lomasizing the emotional response of crying. He wasn't crying because of his dying. He was crying because Al Pidin, the Kedusha and the Osius Akhtayu were not Chal until after Shlosh. That for him was very depressing. That's why I say it's a very prescriptive shot. So take an emotional response of crying and saying that it's referring to what, why he was crying because it was Chal later. This was the rub of shock and why Moshe Rabbeinu was crying. Okay. Now this brings us to the following. The Torah consists of what we call a Sefer HaBris. The Sefer HaBris is very fundamental. If you read from the Torah and you do not present the Sefer Bris, you're not Yetzer. This is why, please get it, there is a machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachamim if you're allowed to be ma'akid a Sefer Torah to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Can you glue on a nach onto a Sefer Torah? Reb Meir says you can't in Baba Basra and Daf Yigimel, and the Chachamim say you can. How do we paskin? We paskin that you're allowed to. We paskin that you're allowed to. Please get it. You're allowed to be modeling a Sefer Torah onto a nach. But if you do, the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin, Halacha Tetvav Nuchal Sefer Torah. Please get it. If you do, it's called a Chumash. What do you mean it's called a Chumash? What's a Chumash? Not the Irving Stone Chumash. That's the way we call it, right? The Rambam writes, you can be mad because Sefer Torah to fill in to Nach, but if you do, it brings it down to a level called a Chumash. Right? Mr. Stone's, that's how, you know, it's money made it stuck it. That's the name of the program, Es Medrash program. Right? Irving Stone Es Medrash program. When I was a Rebbe, when it first started, I was a Rebbe in it, and I would get the dedication. Dr. Lamb asked me to give it to our entire Rebbe. And he told me to make it short. So I said, okay, I'll make it short. That's what he told me, I made it short. So I made it short, and Mr. Stone was there. He said, imagine having your name all from up, and everyone knows the Chumash, you have your name. It's a tremendous zah. So you have to get Parsh Vayeshev. So what is Parsh Vayeshev? The bris between Lovin and Yankiv. The bris. And the well. What did Lovin call it? Yigar Sadusim. Right? Which is Aramaic. Very rare that Aramaic appears in the Chumash itself. What did Yaakov Avinu call it? Galei. Why do you insist on calling it a Lashon HaKodesh word? The Sforno writes, because why? Because you stick him to the Messiah. You stick to the Messiah. He wasn't comfortable with using an Aramaic Lashon. He wanted Lashon HaKodesh. That's why he insisted on a Hebrew word. So stones on the well. So I thought, did any good, Mr. Stone, Irving Stone. So Dr. Lamb said it's a beautiful garden, especially because it was short. That's what he said. Okay. So whatever the case might be, if you think about it, a chumash, what is the halachic definition of a chumash? What is a chumash? Not the original chumash. What is it? It's a brachos alone, a shmos alone, and a klach. All you have is a brachos, a shmos, a vayikun, of a midbar or a tvar. That's what a chumash is. So I want you to get this. The Rambam writes, you're allowed to be ma'adik, a sefer Torah, to a Tanakh, Levim, and Ksuvim. But if you do, Rambam says, I want you to know, it's treated like Yeser Kenuckle Domi. You know what Yeser Kenuckle Domi means? That's a halachah of los treifus. If a chicken has five legs, we treat it as if it has three. Yes or more is like less. When you add on, you subtract. So we assume it's a treif for that chicken. You add on to the Sefer Torah, you might be allowed to, but if you do it, it's a level of a chumash. It's a chumash. Are you allowed to take a Sefer Torah made of a chumash and lay it in the shul? No, you're not, the Gemara. It's in our Masech and Daf Samach. Ain't korn chumashim v'saknesim. You know what? Cover that tzibor. It looks like they're cheap. Rabbi Kiveger says, why can't the shul buy a whole full Sefer Torah? Rabbi Kiveger, second time, all the Marma Kavis and Shas with the notion of cover that tzibor. So according to Rabbi Kiveger, if the tzibor is not wealthy, if they're poor, what can they do? Not because they're doing it cheap, that's all the money they have, right? So it should be okay. But if you look, many Achronim say it's not okay. It's not, what does Kavanat Tzibor mean? It doesn't mean just it looks cheap. It means that when you lay in, it's a Sefer HaBris, there's a relationship that goes from Klal Yisrael. That's what a Sefer Torah is made up of. A Sefer HaBris. And therefore, ain't korn yichumashim, because it's not a fulfillment of a Sefer HaBris,
There's a need to have a sefer abris,
a full chamisha chumshei Torah. Having just brain shmos is not acceptable at all. You follow me? That's why, according to the Rambam, you took the sefer Torah, Ma'avik the Nim Shinner, taking away from the sefer abris. Sefer abris is complete chamisha chumshei Torah. Nothing less and nothing more. You add on to it, forget it. You diminish it, you only have one sefer, you forget it. It's not just that they look cheap. It's much more. That's a formal, objective din. Ein Korn Kamash is a formal din. It's a lechisar zifar prison shepherd's legal, one would say. I'll give you an example of this. Let's say you have a shul that has two sefer Torah. You have a mistake in what? Let's say you have a mistake in one sefer Torah in sefer Brachos. They found a mistake in the middle of Brachos, they put it back in the Arum, they took out the second one. They used the second one fine. Now they're in the middle of Shmos, using the second one, they find a mistake in the second one. Can they go now take the first one out, which is clean in the rest of the four Svarim, just had a mistake in Brachos? Can they take that Sefer Torah out that's still in the Arum? You follow me? Because the one in the Arum had a mistake in Brachos, but it has no mistake in Shmos Vayikra, Vayikra, Vayikra. What do you say? The Rambam says, fine, no problem. Doesn't look bad. People probably forget about the mistake by then anyway. It's a full Sefer Torah, it has a mistake. It's not a lack of Kavanat Tzibur. The Bir Alochi, the Chofetz Chaim quotes Achorim, they argue on the Rambam. Why do they argue on the Rambam? What did you say, Seth? It's not a Sefer Abris, exactly. It's not just an issue of looking bad or looking cheap. You have to present a Sefer Abris. If you don't have a full Sefer Abris, it's not acceptable. And therefore you're not Yotze. That is the chakra of all. So what we're bringing up with Moshe Rabbeinu and with the Torah, you have to present a Sefer Abris. Your mayor prohibits you from being mounting a Sefer Torah to the Vimitsu because it brings it down. Because it brings it down, it's usher. Come and say you can do it, but it does bring it down. The bringing it down doesn't make it usher. But Lamaise, if you do it, it brings it down to a level of a chumash. Okay? That's the Yiddish. Now, is there any other Sefer in Tanakh that has the status of a Sefer Abris? Is there any other Sefer in all of Tanakh that has the status of a Sefer Abris? Can't hear you.
Esther.
Esther. Excellent art. Megillas Esther. Why? Because whenever there was a what? Adon Hashem gave us the Torah to Gemara at the Shabbos. He took the Arsinai, put it over like a barrel and said what? In the Kabbalah of the Torah Utah, the Lav, Shan, Tehei, Kvurasa. Why does the Gemara say Shan? The Kasha, the Degel Rufin, the Rufin Katz, that's how I asked the Kasha. Rufin Katz was a Rufin Shiver many years. His father had, why does it say Shan? He should say Paul. No? Okay. It's a different Kasha. I forgot the Terrence. But we were forced to accept the Torah. Mudal Rabbi the Arisa. It looks bad. Maybe we only accept the Torah because we're forced to. When did we re-accept the Torah willingly? Purim. Where was the contract? Esther. That's why the same Maldiskin, please get this. The same Maldiskin who started off. Rice. The only Sefer in the Torah, in that Tanakh, that you can give drushes on, says Yerushalmi, or what? Is the Torah, Daisha, and Esther. You cannot make drushes on any other Pesukim, any other Nevi'im, or any other Sfarim Pesukim. Esther has a special status of being a Sefer Abris. It was word for word, letter for letter, and therefore it is what? Shivin Panim LaTorah. Pasuk Echad is Motzi Kama Ta'amin. You folds it itself. Right? The words of Angel Amadal. It turns like sparks. Pasuk Echad is Motzi Kama Ta'amin. And therefore, the Megillas Esther has the same status as the other Sfarim. Not for all did it, but for some. For Halacha of Sirtu, you know, the Sofer has to underline the Sefer Torah, so too, by Megill also, it needs Sirtu as well. And there are given that is safe for Tyra and the Megillus Esther are common to one another. There is a Gemara in Megillah on Daf Testament Aleph that writes, if you have a Megillah that is written, Megillus Esther, that is also written with the other four Megillahs, is that acceptable? No, it's not acceptable. Any Yotze. Bit Seaboard, you're not Yotze. Why are they not Yotze, Bit Seaboard? Why not? Rashi says it looks bad because it looks like maybe you're just learning. Since the Megillah is with the other four Megillahs. Therefore, Bit Seaboard, you're not Yotze. But the Pashto says, according to Shepard Shakabaisa, why are you not Yotze? Because it's not a safe for our bris. It's got to be the Megillah Esther and the Megillus Esther alone. So once Esther shechted, what happens according to this Mahalik? You took a Sefer Torah and put it together with the Megillus Esther, then it would be good. Because they're both safe our brises. Maybe it would come out, then it's good. This is not just a din through a bonon, like Rashi. According to the Shoal and the Rashi book, the Shoal asked the Rashba Shaila, it seems like it's a din d'oraisa. So Sheva said, it is a din d'oraisa, because there's a need of a Sefer HaBris. Sefer HaBris, the Rabban writes the whole Torah. Rashi writes Sefer HaBris from the beginning to Parsha Mishpatim. The Rabban says Sefer HaBris is the whole thing. So this is what we want to bring out as the group, this Chiddush. This Chiddush of the Sefer HaBris. That's a Moshe Rabbeinu dictated word for word, letter for letter. The last day of was just a transcriber. It was not together, nothing. Okay. Now, let's get to the Rambam Ravid, and then I want to finish off the Hilchos Borei Moreish. What was the Ravid's comment on the Rambam? The Rambam said you don't need a minyan. What did the Ravid say? I want to read the Loshon. Ravid said, Lo shamanu dover zem the oilam. I've never heard this ever. Let's get it. Lashon HaRavid. The Ravid says, Basagas HaRavid, Lo shamanu dover zem the oilam. I never heard this forever. Uma sha'amru yachid koreos ha'lomer she'inu mafzik ben. Lachi sebi yusham divin megillah. Mekoymus ha'lolu no'agu sha'oilam nikro betoru levada karevin ha'chazik ra'imo. Ma she'kosav hu, please get this. The Ravid writes on the Rama. Who in him Zorus umo. What does Zorus mean? Very bizarre. And the Ravid concludes, please get this, that Zibor Heichon Holchu. The Rambam was the one who said you don't need a minyan for the 10 psukim. So you could read this Ravid saying, well, the Ravid was just mocking the Rambam. Where did Zibor go? He wasn't mocking him. What does the Ravid mean when he says this? I'll tell you what he means. He means like this. What happens if you start laning with a minyan and some guys leave in the middle? What's the din? So the halacha is, the Ravid assumed the following chiddush. Even if some people leave B'shas Kriyas HaTorah of the last day of Tzukim, no problem. We treat it as if the whole Tzibur is already there. Because if you start with 10 and some leave, you can still finish. That's what the Ravid writes, HaTzibur Heichon Holchu. Where did the Din Tzibur go? Because to finish the last day of Tzukim in the Torah, it's always considered to be Tzibur, since you started with 10. That's the kasha of the Ravid. What's the kasha of the Ravid on the Rambam? The way he interpreted the Rambam, please get this, is what did the Rambam say? You don't need to have a minyan for the last day of Tzukim in the Chumash, yes? The Ravid thought that meant he started with a minyan and guys left. Nachumah. The Ravid interpreted the Rambam, you started with a minyan and guys left in the middle. The Ravid asks on that, I'll be a wach, even if you guys leave, it's still considered to be what? The Tzibor. That was the Ravid's kasha. Seth, you follow me? The Ravid understood the Rambam. The Rambam said, you don't need a minyan. He understood the Rambam meaning. Plus, it sounds the way we said it. You don't need a minyan at all, from beginning until end. Of the last day. You follow me? The Ravid understood the Rambam as you started with a minyan, and some guys left in the middle. So the Rabbit says, no big deal. The Rabbit says, I'll be a look, and that's considered a disease. Still, you have 10. That's what the Rabbit meant. Where did Tzipor go? You follow me? Please get this. That's how the Rabbit meant the Rabbit asked the Kasha. Where did Tzipor go, man? I'll be a look, and the Tzipor's still there, even though a few guys left. The Rambam, though, held as follows. And this is the Chiddush. And this is what Rav Schulte writes. There are two shittas. How many guys have to still be there? Do you need rov or just a few? This is a machloikis. Okay? This is a machloikis. The Sefer Amanig writes the Feirish. He says the Feirish, a big, very big machloikis to my son this. But it's a big machloikis, and it comes out as follows. The Rabbit holds like the Sefer Amanig. To be Goymer, a Dover Shevikdusha, you have to start with 10, and you can finish even up with one guy. All 9 guys could have left. The Sefer Amanig holds. That's what the Rabbit says. The Rabbit says, where did Tzibor go? As if you have a Tzibor. Because you started with 10. Since you started with 10, even if you left with one guy, it's treated as if I'll be a luck of this Tzibor is still there. That's why the Rabbit says, where did Tzibor go? I'll be a luck of the Tzibor is there. The Rambam holds like the Ron. You need at least 6. You need at least 6 for the rest of Kriyas HaTorah. For the rest of Kriyas HaTorah, you need at least what? You need at least 6. You start with 10, you need at least 6 to finish up if guys leave. But the last day, Psukim, the Rambam holds. Even if 9 leave, you could finish up. That's what the Rambam understands, halacha lamaisa. Even if rov lamaisa go, the Rambam holds, you're not allowed to finish. But by the last day of Psukim in the Torah, you're allowed to finish. Okay? This is how we're being masked by the Machlokes Rambam Rabbah. But I want you just to get that. If you assume like this pshat, that the Rabbah is interpreting the Rambam like this, what is the whole premise of this whole pshat of the Rabbah and the Rambam? What's the whole premise of this pshat of the Rabbah and the Rambam? That the Rabbit understood the Rambam started with 10. That's not the simplest reading of the Rambam. That's what I want to stress. Throughout the whole year, we wrote the Rambam held at what? We said the Rambam said you don't need a minion at all. The Rabbit understood the Rambam that you started off with the minion. The question is, according to the Rabbit, even if a few guys leave, I'll be a luck as if the Tzibor's there. That was the Rabbit ashamed to say for Amani. And the Rambam held like the Ram, that you need rove guys to be there. But the last day of Psukim, you don't even need any rove guys. You hear what I'm saying? Even if you have a few guys, you can still finish up. I'm just pointing out that whole, this whole Hesper, the result is saying, is assuming the Rabbit shot in the Rambam, you start off with a minion. The simplest thing in the Rambam is you don't need a minion bichla at all. From beginning until end. Yochid is Yochid Mamish. The Rabbit is, no, you start off with 10, and guys left. So he says, why do you consider that to be yochid? It's like it does at Tzibor. No, the Rambam says normally you need rov to still be the rest of Kriyas HaTorah. By the last day of Psukim, even if you have one guy, it's enough. But that's assuming you start off with 10. No, our pshat in the Rambam was that you had what? You never had a minion from beginning until then. This whole discussion we're bringing out, the Rambam was interpreting the Rambam that you start off with 10, which is not the pasuk pshat in the Rambam. This is the whole Hesber we're saying within the Rambam, in the Rambam. You have the Rabbit's Hesber and the Rambam, the Rabbit's Shita himself against the Rambam. But then we have our own Pshat Rambam divorced from what the Rabbit said. They never had a minion, Bichlal, from beginning until end. That's the simplest reading of the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Shmona Psukim Shubasavet, Tera Mutuli Kros Savet, it's against the Pogsmiths are finished. It doesn't say they were at the beginning. The Rabbit understood, at least that's the way Rav Schulte wants to understand the Rambam. That's why I wasn't mocking the Rabbit. Just saying, I'll be a lot of the Tzibor still there. Well, that's if you had 10 from the beginning. You never had 10 from the beginning. Rabbit never said he had 10 from the beginning. This is the Chiddush we want to bring up. Okay. Let's close now with the halacha I wanted to discuss of Borei Borei Ha'esh. Please, let's get it. We're all familiar with the creation. 6 days what Hashem created. What does the Mishnah write in the Sechus Ovis? What does the Mishnah write in the Sechus Ovis? There were 10 things that what? That were created when? Ben Hashmoshes. However, there were 2 things that were created when? On Motzei Shabbos. Very fascinating Medrash, Amorim Sochim actually, that writes, on Nudalud Amar Aleph, that Rabbi Yossi in a Brisa writes, there were Shnei Dvarim that Hashem thought to create on Erev Shabbos. And they didn't end up getting created until when? Until Saturday night. What was the first thing? Eish. Hashem gave Adam HaRishon the Deya. He took 2 rocks together, grinding them together, and flames emerged. What was the second thing? Mule. Adam HaRishon put 2 behemoths together, and he created a mule. I was just wondering in Seder, how could he do that? It's an Isra of Kilayim. You're not allowed to put 2 behemoths together. So look around. I didn't see anyone ask the kasha. But fire was created on Saturday night. Oh. Now, the truth is, this is an amazing Yerushalmi and the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. We find that there were 36 hours of light. 12 Erev Shabbos. For 36 hours, he used the light that Hashem created in Yom Rishon. 12 hours on Friday. 12 hours Shabbos day. And 12 hours Friday night. Then as Motzei Shabbos began, darkness rose in the world. And Adam HaRishon got terribly scared that the snake would bite him. The Nachash. Since Vinisyari Adam Vamar Ilu Shekosabuli Shefecha Rosh Atat Shefenu Okev Shema Bon Lunashcheni Vamar Achoshechi Shefeni Amar of Levi Bosa Shah Zimein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shnei Ra'ofim, which means stones. Shem gave Adam Rishon 2 stones. The Kishin Zelazah, he put them together. The Yotzimein Or, and flames emerged. Who did see Velila or by Dani? Shloimeh, you follow me? And therefore Adam HaRishon created fire. And he was saved. He was terribly scared. But the stones that he put together protected him. And therefore withstood the darkness. He had fire that came out of the stones. This could also be, Rashi quotes, fascinating, that our skins before the chait were like nails. After the chait, it became soft skin, and what was left was just the nails themselves. Maybe that's why we look at our nails at the Eish on Saturday night to commemorate this concept. Oh, now what are you doing? One of my Rebbeim, he was in Shalvim, now he has his own yeshiva, Reb Shmuel Tal. When he puts his fingers, what are you supposed to do when you put your fingers by the light? What are you supposed to be noting? The difference between the fingernails and the flesh. What kind of halacha is that? That's why he always puts his watch by the light, to discern what time it is. That's real halacha. Otherwise, what kind of halacha is that? Oh, you can see the difference between your fingernails and your skin. Is that halacha? That's why he puts his watch by. I also do the same. I put my watch by the candles to derive real Hanoah. Oh, this is the Shiloh. I want you to get this. How do we categorize this bracha of Borei Bahorei Aish? Please look at this. Now, the Dror writes, there are 4 categories of brachas in Halacha. What are the 4? Birkas Nanim, brachas before you eat. Birkas Shevach Vodoya, you hear thunder, see lightning. Shevach Vodoya, you play, praise Hashem. Birkas HaMitzvahs, before you do the mitzvah, say a bracha on the mitzvah. What's the 4th one? Because what? Filo.
Brochas that pertain to David.
The bracha Borei Mohorei Ha'esh, the Chazon Ish writes, is not a Pirkas HaMitzvah. So he writes. The different Chaim, the censor of, writes it is. But that's not the Nakuda I want to discuss now. What I want to discuss now is the bracha Borei Mohorei Ha'esh a Pirkas Shevach Vodoye? Or is it a Birkas Ned?
Shlomo, you follow me? That's the shy. Is it a Birkas Shevach Vodo? Is it a Birkas Ned? Or my nafkamina? A big nafkamina. A big nafkamina. What's a nafkamina? Do you say the bracha before you put your fingernails there? Or put the watch? If it's a Birkas Ned, you say the bracha before. It's a Birkas Shevach Vodo. What do? You put your fingers there and then the bracha afterwards. Birkas Shevach Vodo is after. You hear the thunder, you see the lightning, you say the bracha afterwards. And there's no way to do both, right? What are you going to say? I'm going to do both shittas? So I say the bracha before, right? And then I do it, I'm holding it's a Birkas Ned. Then I say the bracha afterwards. Then I say the bracha afterwards, I do it. Then I'm showing it's a Birkas Shevach Vodo. You can't fulfill both. Go ahead, Yitzi.
You put your hand in front of
the light
before you say the bracha.
If it's a Birkas Ned, then I did the Hanah before. I'm over Nisr. So no matter what, you have to decide which one you want to do. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that and say the bracha. Right? So, this is what I want you to get. Please, let's get it. Okay? We have a few more minutes. Please, let's get it. Come on, let's focus. Focus. First day, focus. Oh, I know it's hard, but we got to focus. Focus. Oh. The Mishnah Brura, in many places, I want you to get this. You know who he holds like? Who does the Mishnah Brura hold like? He holds that it's a Birkas Shevach Vodo, like the Taz. The Taz and Simon Reish Ches Sadi. Sifkot Nauf calls this a Birkas Shevach Vodo. Therefore, what do you do? What do you do according to Mishnah Brura? You put your fingers there first, and then what? If it's a Birkas Shevach Vodo, what do? You put your fingers there first, and what do? Say the bracha afterwards. You got me? What is the minigol? I can't hear you. Against the Mishnah Brura. The Minigah Olam is like the Magen Avraham. Okay? Who holds the Simon Reish Ches Sadi to go to that as a Birkas HaMitzvah. Birkas Nenin, rather. Rav Moshe says that we should follow the Minigah Olam against the Mishnah Brura. Rav Moshe is in Chelek A, Simin Tes, Os Tes, and Orachayim. You should not follow, he says, you should follow the Minigoyim. The Magen Avraham writes that he says it was usher all of Shabbos fire. Now on Motzi Shabbos, you can create fire anew, so you have to drive Hanah from this. So it's a Birkas Ned. You know what the Magen Avraham compares Birkas Aner to? Birkas HaMugmar. What is Birkas HaMugmar? Brocha on clothes. They put a fragrance on the clothes. They used to smell the clothes. That was on the pleasant fragrance. So he calls the Birkas Nenin. So you should say the bracha before it and do the mice afterwards. The Hanah afterwards. Let me ask you though. The Kolbo, who is the Rishon in Simon Mem Aleph, most Rishonim hold that it's a Birkas Shevach Vodo like the Mishnah Brura. Most Rishonim say, Taisvis. The Rosh, the Ramban, the Ritva, the Rav, the Rabbi Dovid. Most Rishonim say Birkas Aner is a Birkas Shevach Vodo. Okay? However, the Kolbo writes the Birkas Ned like the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura. I'm sorry, the Magen Avraham and the what and the Rabbosh. Why don't you say this every day? That's what the Kolbo asks. Why don't you say it every day? That you derive benefit from fire. So the answer is, he says, the bracha you say on Motzei Shabbos covers the whole week. The bracha you say on Motzei Shabbos covers the whole week, he says. Plus the fact the Rosh writes that we do say it every day. Yotzer Hamayris. The bracha of Yotzer Moses of Birkas Nenin on any deriving benefit from fire. Big Kiddush. Usually Yotzer Moses of Birkas Kriyashma. Birkas Sheva Kodah, but he says a dual purpose. Very interesting, no? So Rosh Rishonim say it's Birkas Sheva Kodah like the Mishnah Berurah and the Taz. The Kobol says Birkas Nenin with the Rosh. And that's like Reb Moshe and the Mogen Avraham. That's a Birkas Nenin. Oh, where do we find this halacha l'maaseh? Let me give you three places. Whatever the Purim comes out on Saturday night, do you say the bracha of Nir before reading the Megillah or not? Remember those times it was dark. They didn't have lights. You had to light a candle. Do you light the candle before Kriyas Megillah, yes or no? Mishnah Berurah says, no way. You read the Megillah, then you do the Birkas Hanir afterwards. Why? You're pushing off Shabbos later, Megillah's Adifa. That's because you hold it to Birkas Shevach Lodah. If you hold it to Birkas Nenin, then you'd have to derive benefit from the light before you read the Megillah, because you need to see the light. Then you have to say Birkas or Birkas Hanir before Kriyas Megillah. That's one Mishnah Berurah. Mr. Brisbane Simon Tofre Sani Gimel, Mavdin Lachra Megillah. Mr. Brewer writes in Simon Tofkuf Tzari Tess and Sifkar Nalev, what happens if Lel Rosh Hashanah is Saturday night? You need to look in the Siddur. Are you allowed to say the Bracha on the Nir before Barfu? Mr. Brewer says, Lamaisa Lakula, Birkas Anir is a Birkas Shevach Lodah. Is it mutter to daven from a sitter, even though you haven't said Adayin Birkas Bore Maraesh? You light the candle to see the sitter. You're going to say the bracha Bore Maraesh after Meir. Is that okay? Yes, because it's a Birkas Shevach Lodah. And Shabur also she tells Birkas Shevach Lodah. Another place, the third place. What happens if Tisha B'Av comes out on Saturday night? The Taz writes in Simit Tov Kuf Nun Gimel. Tisha B'Av comes out on Saturday night. Are you allowed to light the candle before Eicha? Say the bracha. Are you allowed to light the candle and say the bracha? So the Taz says you have to say the bracha for Eicha. Why? Because what does it say in Eicha? B'machashach Hakim Hoshivani. I dwell in darkness. It's a special thing that you light it afterwards. Special halachim. He says you need to say the bracha before Kriyas Megillah. Because it says, B'machashachim Hoshivani. What is it, B'machashachim Hoshivani? You have to say the bracha, you say the bracha before the Kriyas Megillah. Because L'maisa, you don't want to derive benefit after Eicha's read from the light. So the Taz also holds it to Birkas Shevachodah. You really should say it afterwards. We're just forced to say it beforehand. Why are we forced to say it beforehand? Because we want that if you're going to die benefit from the light, it'll be before Eicha, not afterwards. After Eicha's read, you're already in darkness. So we're forced to say it before. But what do you see theoretically from the Taz that it's a Birkas Shevachodah? You really should have said it afterwards. So in three places, we just said, Mr. Berurah is going with the Shita with the Taz. It's a said afterwards. Birkas Shevachodah, you should do the action, then say the bracha. Why don't we follow Mr. Berurah? Because the minhag is not that way. We treat it like a Birkas Nedan. We treat it like a Birkas Nedan. So I would say we follow the Reb Moshe and the minhag always say the bracha beforehand and then do this in the watch. Even though the Mr. Berurah says it's a Birkas Shevachodah. Seems like Al Pidin we're calling it a Birkas Nedan. Okay? We're calling the Birkas Nedan. Now, what happens if by mistake it said Borei Ma'or Ha'esh? Would you be Yotzer? Borei Ma'or Ha'esh. Would you be Yotzer or not? No. Because Borei is the different colors you see. White, green. It's Ma'ake. What happens if you say Bora Ma'or Ha'esh? Not Borei. Lashon Omer. You're Yotzer B'Yavid, Mishnah Berurah says.
Oh, what about an electric light bulb? What about an electric light bulb? Are you yikes there or not? That clock's slow, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is it? What do you have? 12:56? Oh, so you have 4 minutes. Oh. I have a clock to show. Oh. Reb Chaim Oyser Zatzal, who was the Gorlador of his man Chofetz Chaim said that electricity is like ash. And you could say the bracha borim resh. Very important. Reb Chaim Oyser held like this Ladina. Okay? Who argues on this? Reb Haken held like this, like Reb Chaim Oyser. Who argues on this? Reb Zvi Pesach Frank and Reb Moshe said, you're not allowed to say borim or resh on electric light bulb. You follow me? You're not allowed to. Now, even if you hold like Reb Chaim Oyser, it's got to be unfrosted. You know what I mean by unfrosted? You know, clear, not frosted. And it cannot be, what's that, fluorescent. Even though like a B'chai Moshe, it cannot be fluorescent. So that's a big machlokes in the poskim, halacha lemaaseh. But what I want to bring out is, what do you need for Avdolah? You need an avuka. What is an avuka? What is an avuka? Torch. That's a mitzvah min avukha. If you don't have 2 wicks, you only have 1 wick, you're still yotzer. A lot of people make that mistake. You got me? What's the definition of avuka? 2 wicks that touch each other, lechachila. But also, if the 2 wicks are in one corner room, the other corner room, it's also an avuka. You know what Yontif turns out on Motzei Shabbos? You have to say the bracha of Avdolah during Kiddush. So many people put the 2 candles together. That's also said the Rav. It's either Havara or it's Kibui Shalom Tzara. As long as the 2 wicks are there, even though they're not touching, it's still considered to be Avdolah. Still considered to be an avuka. You know where that's found? In Hilchos Shechita. You're not allowed to shecht at night. You shecht at night like you lost it, you can't see. But if you shecht by an avuka, it's good. This ketubah on the bottom of the page in Hilchos Shechita says, what's an avuka? 2 wicks. They don't have to necessarily touch. That's considered being avuka. But an avuka is a mitzvah min mufkar. It's not likuva. You follow me? It is not likuva. No whatsoever. Oh. Now, until what time can you say Avdolah? So what day? Tuesday. But not the bracha of Borei Morei Aish. The bracha of Borei Morei Aish is only Saturday night, and that's it. Because it's the takana was when Aish was created. So once Saturday night passes, forget about it. You cannot say the bracha of Borei Morei Aish. And the truth is, you can say at any time throughout Saturday night, we're just misadarim on the coast, on Avdolah. Let's close with the following paragraph. One of the fellows in shul was asking me, stop here, but that's what the Rebbe said, figure out the locus. He writes, there's a big machlekes whether women are mechuyev and Avdolah, let me show you. So a woman should never say Avdolah by herself, she should hear it from them. I say Avdolah over the phone for my mother-in-law. It's a big shayla possibly yotze through the phone. But Lamaisa, if a woman has no choice, she can say it herself. Okay? But a man that said it already should not say it for a woman again. Because it could be that it's a rabbi tucker. She might not be mechuyev. She might not even be mechuyev. So the Bir Halacha writes, if a woman saying her own Avdolah, she should not say borei moresh. Why not? That's what this fellow in shul, the big time of was asking. Why not? What has she got to lose? If the mitzvah says you should be Rama, so a woman voluntarily can always say bracha. That's what Ashkenazic women hold, right? Like the Ramon Tosfos, she can say bracha lulu if she wants. The Rambam and the Mechaber says she can't. But what has she got to lose? Nonetheless, the Bir Halacha sticks to his guns and says she cannot say a bracha. Borei morei aech. She wants to say Avdolah on her own, that's fine. She shouldn't say that bracha. That's Shach the Shabbos. Okay, he's not tracking the shots. She's not a chuyah. But it should be like any other mitzvah on Gaul. What is she risking? It's a sarachi and Gaul on the Baal Mocha Pashas. But I don't think it is so. Because the more she's talking, she's talking from Avdolah. The truth is, if it's a mitzvah on Gaul, let her say it. So we have to try to find a hesber for the pshat and the bialach. But that's the deal. She says on the Torah, she shouldn't say the book of Brei Mareish to Pashtus. Question is why? All right, we'll stop here. Good to see everyone. Good to see everyone. Tomorrow, let's share.